There was a grandmother who was talking to her young granddaughter, and the grandmother was telling the young granddaughter how life used to be when she was a little girl. And she said, you know, we used to skate outside on a pond, and we had a swing that we made from a tire, and we hung it with a rope from a tree in the yard, and we rode our pony, and we picked wild raspberries in the woods, and on she went. And the little girl was wide-eyed taking all of this in, and finally the little granddaughter looked at her grandmother and she said, I sure wish I'd gotten to know you sooner. Isn't that beautiful? Life changes, doesn't it? Used to be ponds and ponies and tire swings, and now it's apps and Xbox and Netflix. We used to travel by taxi sometimes, but now it's Uber or Lyft. We used to have a handful of TV channels we would watch occasionally, and now there are hundreds, if not thousands, that we can watch anytime, all the time. Life is full of changes. That fact is a constant reality of our world today. And maybe it always has been that change is constant, but you know, it seems like it happens so much more quickly today than it ever used to. We live in a society of transitions. Well, you know, transitions and change can cause a great deal of stress for us in life. When life is predictable, when we know what to expect, we can prepare ourselves for the routine, for the ordinary. But when transition happens and when change comes, when life becomes unpredictable, we begin to worry. We get anxious. We become stressed in our life. And change often promotes this sense of being unsettled in our lives. Well, the writer of Ecclesiastes has a message for us. He says that there is a time for everything. There is a season for everything under heaven. And these beautiful poetic words often give us comfort and encouragement. They remind us God has a timing. God has seasons of life for us that we can trust in and that we believe in. The words challenge us to seize the opportunities that we are given in the present moment. As one person said, as I read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I'm reminded to, quote, feel for the opening door or to know when to conclude that the door simply will not open, that there is nothing to do but to wait or to knock on another door. There is a sequence of occasions in our lives that are perfectly timed to the paces of our journey. And we can't always know that perfect timing. We can't always sense it or experience it or feel it. But sometimes later when we reflect back, that clarity of God's perfect timing comes to us. Our task, our goal, our challenge is to relish and appreciate the present moment we've been given by God and to trust God for the moments that are yet to come. You know, starting maybe even today to feel a little bit like fall outside. I love that time of year. I don't know about you, but fall is just a special time of year when that cool breeze comes and the leaves begin to change. I do not like getting all the leaves off the ground. I don't know about you. That's kind of a pain, right? But I love seeing the beautiful colors in the trees. Our yard has a lot of trees in it, but there's one tree that is my absolute favorite. If you walk out our front door, it's just over to the left on the side of our front yard. It's not the biggest tree. If you look at it, it's not the size of it. It's not its grandeur that makes it my favorite tree, but it is my favorite tree because in the fall, the leaves turn this bright gold color. And in the afternoons, when the fall sun on a beautiful fall day shines on this tree, it is almost as if it is in a blaze of glory. It is a beautiful tree. But, of course, the leaves only stay that bright golden color for a few days, maybe a few weeks. It is a short-lived beauty. But I love those few weeks. If that tree stayed that way all the time, I would simply take it for granted. But because it's only a few weeks out of the year, I treasure those few weeks. And when I see that tree, I'm reminded, enjoy the moment, treasure the present, appreciate this season, for it does not last forever. Robert Frost wrote a beautiful poem. It's called Nothing Gold Can Stay. And he writes, nature's first green is gold, her hardest hue to hold. Her early leaf's a flower, but only so an hour. The leaf subsides to leaf, so Eden sank to grief. So dawn goes down to day, nothing gold can stay. In this life and on this earth, that gold color of fall is a burst of fleeting lifespan. It has its own experience. It's the perfect Eden for just a while, and then it goes away. That change reminds us of what happens in our lives. It, as one person said, it only lasts for an hour, and then they seem to subside or sink into the next stage, which brings with it a subtle feeling of loss or grief. That's true, isn't it? In times of transition, we experience those moments that something good has come to an end, but only so that something new can begin. Do we recognize in each of those moments that the end has come so a new beginning can begin, so that we can grow into our true purpose? Can we see that despite the season, God is still at work? One of the most helpful perspectives when we experience transition or change in life is to take a step back from the details and to try to look at the big picture. Billy Graham is now 98 years old. He will be 99 next month, November the 7th. His health has deteriorated, and now due to Parkinson's disease and other factors, he struggles with his health, but he continues to be a blessing to so many. More than 17 years ago, January of 2000, leaders in Charlotte, North Carolina, invited Billy Graham to a luncheon in his honor. Reverend Graham hesitated to accept the invitation at first because of his health issues, but the leaders of the event in Charlotte said to him, "Look, we don't expect a major address. Just come, let us honor you, and at the appropriate time, if you'd like to stand up and say thank you, that will be sufficient." So Reverend Graham agreed, and he went to the luncheon, and many wonderful things were said about him. And at the appropriate moment, Billy Graham stepped to the rostrum, and he looked out at the crowd, and he told this story. He said, "I'm reminded today of Albert Einstein, the great physicist, who this month," he says, "has been honored by Time magazine as Man of the Century." He said, "Well, one time Einstein was traveling from Princeton on a train, when the conductor came down the aisle and was punching the tickets of every passenger. When he came to the great physicist, Albert Einstein, he reached into his vest pocket, but he couldn't find the ticket. So he reached into his pants pocket, and he still could not find his ticket. He looked into his briefcase, no ticket. He looked into the seat sitting next to him, there was no ticket there. Finally, the conductor said, "Dr. Einstein, listen, I know who you are." He said, I'm sure you bought a ticket. I'm not worried about that. Don't worry about it. Everything's fine." Albert Einstein shook his head and nodded appreciatively, and the conductor continued down his aisle punching the tickets. Well, a few moments later, as he got to the end of the car, the conductor looked back, and there was the great physicist Albert Einstein on the floor on his hands and knees looking under his seat, still frantically trying to find the ticket. Well, the conductor runs back to him and says, Dr. Einstein, really, it's okay. I know who you are. I know you purchased a ticket. I'm not worried about it. It's no problem. Don't worry about it." To which Albert Einstein said, "Young man, I too know who I am. What I don't know is where I'm going." Well, having told that story, Billy Graham continued talking to those who were gathered to honor him that day, and he said these words. He said, "Do you see the suit I'm wearing? It's a brand new suit," he said. My children and my grandchildren are telling me that I've gotten a little slovenly in my old age. I used to be more fastidious. So I went out and bought a new suit for this luncheon and for one more occasion. Do you know what that occasion is? He said. The suit that I have purchased and the suit I wear today is the suit I will be buried in one day. But, he said, when you hear of my death, I don't want you to immediately remember the suit that I'm wearing. Here's what I want you to remember. I not only know who I am, I know where I'm going. I not only know who I am, I also know where I'm going. You see, it is knowing where you're going in life that makes all the difference in this world. It is taking a step back from the details and seeing the big picture that changes our approach to life. Well, why, someone might ask? It's because the world is constantly changing. Our lives are constantly changing. There are seasons for this and there are seasons for that. But life is constantly on the move. And even if you remember who you are, if you don't have your ticket and you don't know where you're going, there can be little peace or tranquility in the transitions of life. Like Albert Einstein, when we can't see the big picture, when we don't know the ultimate destination, we find ourselves frantically searching here, there, and yonder, trying to find something that will give us a sense of tranquility in the midst of all the transitions of life. And listen, that is not abundant life. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, stand firm. In other words, when life is changing, when life is moving, when it's shifting, when it's shaking, when you've tried everything you know to do and you're not sure what to do next, God's word says, stand firm. Trust in the midst of transitions and change. God is at work. God has a plan. God knows what is best so that even when you can't see your way forward, we stand firm believing that God is at work in the chaos. I had the privilege this past week on Monday night to speak at the RUMC job networking program just up the street. It's a great ministry. Lots of people come who are searching for jobs. They are unemployed. I met many wonderful people that evening, had lots of good conversations, but one conversation stood out to me. I talked to a middle-aged man, and he said basically these words to me. He said, I'm out of work. For the first time in my life, he said, I don't have a job. I don't have an income. I look down the road. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. I don't know how I'm going to support my family. But then he said this. He said, but I can't wait to see where God is leading me. What a great outlook. Basically, I heard him say, I know who I am. I'm God's child. I know that God has a plan for me, and I can't see the details right now, but I'm not worried about it. And actually, I can't wait to see how God is going to work all of this out. What a wonderful outlook. It is tranquility in the midst of transitions. And you know, sometimes we respond in the opposite way. We sit around waiting for God to change our circumstances, and we basically say to God, look, whenever you change these things, then I'll be happy, then I'll be satisfied, then I'll be content in my life. When such and such happens, then I will have a good attitude, then I will praise you, then life will be good. But until all this change settles down, God, I just simply can't be content. But the writer of Ecclesiastes says, listen, waiting for life to change is not abundant life. Waiting for things to be different is not tranquility in transition. What the writer of Ecclesiastes says is the goal of life is to trust God in the midst of the uncertainty. The writer of Ecclesiastes says there is a time for everything. There is a season for everything under the sun. And what we have to remember is our timing is not God's timing. We learn to trust in God's timing. It is another central aspect of living an abundant life. You know, today we live in an immediate world. almost anything you want. We get it as quickly as we want it. It comes to us so fast. We don't have to wait on very much. Everything is right where we want it. We're always in a hurry. We don't have time to wait. But here's an abundant life lesson. God, in our spiritual lives, has appointed a time to answer our prayers and bring our dreams to pass. And the truth is, no matter how badly we want it sooner, no matter how much we pray and plead with God, God has an appointed time and a right season. For there is a season for everything under the sun. And so often we walk down the hallways of life and we try to push the doors open. We try to force them open to make things happen in our way, in our strength, in our time. And what happens is all we end up doing is getting frustrated and exhausted, trying to open doors that aren't ready to be opened, trying to make things happen that simply it is not their timing or their season. That's not a place of contentment and satisfaction. It is not abundant life. Jesus said earlier in our scripture reading from the Gospel of John, the reason I'm not doing this is because it's not the right time. The reason I'm not doing what everybody is pressuring me to do is because the timing simply is not right. Jesus learned. Jesus knew. Trust in God's timing. And when we do that, we experience this incredible relief of stress. We begin to realize that if we have to wait anyway, then why not learn to enjoy life while we're waiting? If we have to sit back and trust God, that God's timing is going to work it out, then why not enjoy the waiting? We don't have to struggle. We don't have to ask, why is God doing this or why is God not doing that? We are trusting God, and there is a peace in knowing that at the right time, in the right season, God will work his plan out in our lives. In fact, God most often works when we see and feel his presence the least. The writer of Ecclesiastes says, don't you want a life of meaning? Don't you want a life that is beyond the ho-hum, everyday routine? Don't you want a life where there's abundance within it? Then listen to my message, the writer of Ecclesiastes says. Don't be discouraged. The right time will come. Trust God with your life, and you will experience abundant blessings. But for now, all you need to do is to be still. For there is a time for everything. There is a season for every activity under heaven in your life. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we are grateful that you are trustworthy and dependable. God, so often we want to force our will and our way in life, and yet you remind us this day that what is so important is that we wait patiently on your season for our life. Lord, lead us and guide us to have that kind of faith and that kind of courage. For we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.